following aviation podcast is presented as entertainment, not flight instruction. Though some participants are certified flight instructors, their comments, opinions, and discussions of flying techniques are theirs alone. None of the co-hosts or guests on this podcast are acting as your flight instructor. Please consult your own CFI for guidance on your specific flight training, aeronautical knowledge, and aircraft operation. This is the Stuck Mike Avcast, an aviation podcast about learning to fly, living to fly, and loving to fly.
Well, welcome to the Stuck Mike Avcast. Whether you want to become a better flight instructor or are new to the world of aviation instruction, there is someone who started a grassroots collaborative venue for you. Leslie Caldwell is one of my favorite flight instructors and aviation mentors because she cares about the advancement of others in the pursuit of excellence in aviation. I'm excited to have her also join us as our newest co-host on the Stuck Mike Avcast. And we're going to explore with her today her journey to her new aviation home.
Let's do the pre-flight.
But before we begin, a quick reminder, the 2024 version of the Scholarships Guide has been published and it's available. And you can click on Scholarships Guide on the right side of the Stuck Mike Avcast. And by the way, if you want to get one for free, you can go to aviationcareerspodcast.com/payitforward. And you can find out how you can get one for free or maybe even give one away for free. It's a really great program, over $120 million in scholarships. And we are continually updating that. And we have a new chapter that's coming out in the book I think will be really helpful.
Now entering cruise flight.
And again, we have with us Leslie Caldwell, who is our newest co-host. I'm so excited that she's agreed to join us here on the Stuck Mike Avcast because she's all about learning, living, and loving to fly. Leslie, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Carl. I'm thrilled to be here with you and with the listeners. And as you know, I've been a Stuck Mike Avcast fan for many years and have been a guest on the show before. And so I am just so stoked and excited to be here on a more regular basis.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're happy to have you on because we love your passion for aviation and the fact that you are truly helping people realize their dreams. And that's something we want to do here at the Stuck Mike Avcast. But Leslie, I know we've talked a little bit in the past, but we want to do more of a deep dive and get to know you better. There's been a lot of changes in your life, and we're going to get to that. But, you know, as far as your love for aviation, there's not many people that I know that are as passionate about helping other people pursue their dream of becoming a pilot as you are. So why? Why is it that you've chosen this path in your life at this time?
Well, Carl, I mean, as everyone knows, being a pilot is absolutely amazing. And like the old joke is, you know, how do you know when a pilot walks in the room? Because they'll tell you. But, you know, as amazing and, you know, just so how fun it is to learn how to fly. And, you know, it's an industry, it's a hobby that you continue to learn. And that's what I love about it. But it can be challenging. It can be very stressful. So I just love from helping us, you know, our students, potential students, current students, and even those that maybe they've finished their flight training, maybe they need to knock the rust off and get back in the plane again. I like to be there to help them become more strategic, efficient, knowledgeable, and try to avoid some of those challenges. You know, we're all going to have challenges in life and in our flight training and as an instructor and as a flight school owner and aircraft owner. But a lot of these challenges we have a little bit of control over. So I like to find those things that we can continuously improve on and help us become more efficient. You know, we talked to author Keith Young pretty recently, and, you know, he just talked about the same thing. You know, if you missed that episode, be sure and go back and listen to that, because a lot of the points he made are exactly why I'm doing this right now.
Absolutely. Great episode. And I think one of the things that's really amazing, and I'm not putting words in your mouth, is when you do see somebody accomplish their goal, there's something inside you that lights up, and it you're filling their bucket, but it's making your bucket overflow. That's for sure.
For sure. And I think, you know, another thing is, you know, a void I see out there right now is some students that they just don't know what they don't know yet. And it's no fault of their own. It's, you know, they're a product of their environment, maybe a product of their flight instructor or their flight school. But when I see those students come up and not only meet their goals, but they take ownership and responsibility in their training, man, I just get, as we say in Hawaii, I get chicken skin, I get goosebumps, because, you know, that's the way it should be. And, you know, I see new CFIs. We can talk about this a little bit later, but a lot of instructors are overextended, and we have flight school owners who are trying to juggle so many different things. And sometimes handling those students, especially our new private pilot students, I see a lot of things fall through the cracks. So I like to come behind and kind of be that mentor, that coach, and picking up the pieces and helping them and guide them along this incredible journey in ways that maybe their flight school or their flight instructor are not covering in their flight training.
You know, before Leslie, you became this advocate and someone with a great amount of knowledge, you got your start in aviation just like everybody else. So if we could back up in your history and talk a little bit about, first of all, your family history. There's something I just remembered, and it's I think it was your grandmother was in aviation. So tell us a little bit about the history of your family and also how you got started in aviation.
Okay, yeah, Carl, I've got this deep love and passion for helping us, of course, everybody, but especially girls and women in aviation. And I think that goes back to my inspiration to fly, and that was my flying grandmother. She began flying in the late 50s, early 60s. Around that time, she and my private pilot grandfather would fly together, and they just did it for a hobby at first. They would fly over. They were in Arkansas. They'd fly over to Memphis or down in Mississippi, and they'd go see their other flying buddies. They'd go play bridge, go play golf. And it's just something that they enjoyed and really loved doing together. But unfortunately, my grandfather passed away when he was 59. And it just kind of, you know, my grandmother was a very independent woman, and she just continued on with her training. And she did help my dad in his law office. She was his bookkeeper and his main secretary. But when she wasn't doing that, then she was out flying, and she was spending time with her 99 sisters. She eventually became a commercial pilot. She got her multi-engine commercial, became an instructor. She eventually taught my dad and my uncle both how to fly. So it's really in my blood. And what's interesting, though, is that all of the time growing up, I would hear all these incredible stories about her 99 sisters, and she and my dad would talk flying, but they never really said, hey, Leslie, or, you know, my brother or my sister, you know, we would go fly with them, but it never was an opportunity to go learn how to. And she was an instructor. And, you know, I really don't fault her for that. But from my perspective, that was just something that the grown-ups did. So it wasn't until this is a long story. I told you I could spend an hour talking about all of this, but John and I eventually opened up a flight school along with his brother in Arkansas, in Jonesboro, Arkansas. We had a flight school, and then we had a maintenance shop that we owned, and we didn't know anything about aircraft maintenance at the time, but a gentleman who'd been there a long time on the field, long time A&P and IA, was retiring, and we bought the business from him. And in the meantime, we had bought a Cessna 172. There were not many people instructing on the field, but a lot of interest. So we had people that would approach us and say, hey, can I rent your plane? And do you have an instructor that could teach me how to fly? So we started connecting dots and eventually built a flight school there and did pretty well with the maintenance business there. So one day I was out there manning the desk, and John texted me. He said, grab a headset. You're about to go on your discovery flight. And I'd been working there probably 4 or 5 months already, just kind of seeing all the ins and outs, learning all the stuff in the background. And so I got in the plane, and, you know, he created a monster that day. I mean, just like so many people, when you go out and you take that intro flight, that discovery flight, the bug bites really hard. And I've just been so passionate about it ever since. And I probably wasn't, 10, 20 hours into my private pilot training, and I thought, this is something I could see myself doing long term. This is really what I want to do. And it was a long time, several years before I became an instructor. But I just knew that's just what I really wanted to do. And I could just see, you know, you're not only having that joy of flying, but you have that incredible joy of helping others. And like you said, seeing other people reach their goals.
Well, that defines a perfect flight instructor, and I'm so glad you became a flight instructor and are moving that passion in others forward and realizing people's dreams and helping them realize their dreams. You know, I wonder, going back to your background with your grandmother flying, how much of that influence has encouraged you to be an ambassador for women in aviation, for in that whole realm? I mean, seeing her fly was not abnormal to you, but there weren't many female pilots then.
There weren't. And, you know, the more I learn about the journey of women in aviation, you know, it's gone, even since I've been flying, gone from, you know, around 4 or 5% of licensed pilots are women to now it's, you know, it's pushing 6, maybe 7%. I read a statistic just this morning that about 20-21% of student pilots now are women, girls and women, which is an incredible number. So I think we have a really bright future ahead. But seeing my grandmother fly, and, you know, I've got scrapbooks here. I could go back and look at, she's in the Arkansas Aviation Hall of Fame now. Just so you know, she didn't push it. I mean, she wasn't a, you know, big into like the feminism movement of the 70s, like a lot of her friends were, but she just did it with grace, with skill, with knowledge and professionalism. And she was really good at networking women together. She was very involved with the 99s. She was a member of the Memphis chapter and even was a Southeast section governor. She flew in air races, what we call the Air Race Classic now, was called the Powder Puff Derby back then. She flew in several of those and an international air race. So, you know, just looking back on her history now that I am flying, and, you know, she died several years before I even started that private pilot journey. It's an inspiration to see what she has done, and almost, you know, kind of have a checklist, so to speak, of, you know, these are the accomplishments she did. And so these are the things that I would like to do. Not just because she did it, because I see the legacy she left behind and the importance of them. I mean, one example right now, she was an FAA safety team representative volunteer. Now that I've got a little bit of time on my hands, I'm not fully managing a flight school right now, which took a lot of my time. So right now I'm in that application process at the Tampa FISDO to become an FAA safety representative, something that I've always wanted to do. You know, so just different things like flying in the air race. That's a big bucket list item for me to do that in memory of my grandmother. And that's kind of bled over into, she wasn't really involved. I don't think there was a lot of aviation scholarships back when she was flying. But as you know, there are now. And so I really like to be a proponent and that friend to kind of come alongside, especially the ladies who are going into flight training, and help them, guide them through that scholarship application process.
You know, it's interesting you said that, because there are, that it's really changed. I mean, there are so many opportunities out there to bring females into aviation. And when you said 20%, that's a number I didn't realize. That is a huge difference. That's obviously moving the needle. And it at some point will get to over 50%. And we're seeing, and just look at how much it's increased just over the past 10 years. I think that's absolutely incredible. It's like I said, it's people like you that are doing that. And talking of scholarships, and this is kind of the thing what we were just talking about, is that having experience in getting scholarships helps you help others through that process. And one of the things that you offer to do, and actually we're about to publish, it's coming out in the next version of the Scholarships Guide, is how to actually go through the process, how to successfully obtain a scholarship. So, and that's kind of like a talk for a whole nother episode, and we've right. talked about that before, but that, what have, through this whole process, just if you could summarize, what's really made a difference in your being able to successfully obtain scholarships? Because you have.
I would say, you know, it boils down to just a couple of things. One is just going into it, eyes wide open, and knowing it's going to take a lot of time. Sometimes there's smaller scholarships that you could send in an application within 24 hours. But to really make a good application, a lot of these, you have to make so many copies of different things, and being organized and using the checklist that's provided by those scholarship committees. So that's number one. Number two is, I really believe everyone has a story. You know, I feel like my story is not really that great, not really that significant, but you can find something unique about your story. I mean, everybody has a passion for aviation, but if you say that in your scholarship application over and over, they're like, eh, okay, everybody does. So what? What's so special about you? So I like to talk about my CFI grandmother in my scholarship applications, or maybe the fact that, you know, my husband John and I started an aviation podcast back when we had put all of our savings into moving to Hawaii, and we had gone from having four planes at our disposal at our flight school in Arkansas to not having any money to rent at all. And it's very expensive to fly in Hawaii. So we started an aviation podcast to kind of keep our heads in the game and to talk about our stories and our experiences, hoping that that would inspire other people.
And we're so,
talking, you know, yeah, different things like that that you can put in your application.
Absolutely.
Can somebody set you up for success?
We're so happy you kind of like did that, because that really, it set you apart. You don't have to start a podcast, by the way, to set yourself apart. There's right. So many things that you can do. But I'm so glad you said that, because there's so many things that people do in their lives that they don't think are very significant, but they are. And whether it's a local charity that you've helped people, everybody has a story. And sometimes we forget that, you know, especially, you know, in my other, you know, life, I help people move forward in their careers. And it's amazing how many people downplay some of the things they've done in their life. I mean, you are special and you've done some incredible things. But as far as the scholarships are concerned, one of these days we'll definitely have a whole talk about and a deep dive into that on another video. Because scholarships, by the way, and that's another reason I want to mention it on Stuck Mike Avcast, is they're available for general aviation pilots to get their ratings. And everybody thinks that scholarships are just for people that are looking for a career, but that's not true, is it?
Oh, for sure. And in fact, my journey is still not over. A lot of people don't realize that I don't have my double I yet. And so that's one of my goals this year, mm-hmm. is to get my CF double I. I've just, you know, when you're managing flight schools, sometimes your own training gets put on the back burner because you have to put your airplanes and your team of instructors and your students ahead of yourself. So, it took me a lot of years to chip away at private, instrument, commercial, and then CFI. Never got the double I done, but that is on the front burner. I want to get my AGI. I have my instrument ground instructor, but I want to get my advanced ground instructor certificate just for the fun of it. So all that to say is, some of those scholarships that are listed in the scholarships guide, I'm going to be applying for it even this year. And so I'm going to be putting my own tips into practice as I fill out those applications.
Absolutely. And these scholarships are not just for people that have just recently graduated from college or from high school. You've been out of college for a little while, and they are for people that are maybe what we call non-traditional, you know, over 25. Let's put it that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, I started flying when I was 42 years old. I'm 50 now. I don't mind saying 50 is fabulous, right?
It is.
So, but from private, I got scholarships for private, instrument, commercial, and CFI from different organizations, and totaling a little bit over $15,000. And no, I wasn't in college at the time. I wasn't in a Part 141 school, and I currently don't have aspirations to go into the airlines. And I still was able to get, you know, a significant number of scholarships awarded.
I'm glad you said that, because there are so many people that don't realize there's so much in general aviation that you can do. And everybody says, oh, you're going to go to the airlines. No, I mean, this is such a wonderful place to be. Why would you go to the airlines? I just happened to get there. I mean, I love teaching. I wound up being an instructor and kind of went to the next step. And because people are going to say, hey, well, you're an airline pilot. But that's because I love flying all the time and I just can't stop flying, you know. So that's the reason I got into it. Unfortunately, on the GA side, I went more the podcasting route. I don't get to fly GA as much as I'd like to. Hopefully we're going to change that, looking for an airplane. But it really is interesting, though, that you say that with the scholarships, because I think, and I'm so glad you said that, you're in your 40s, you got scholarships. In your 50s, you can get scholarships. I see people in their 60s, so they are out there. With all that said, we are going to do like a whole other discussion on the scholarship thing. You'd mentioned something. There's Arkansas, and then you mentioned Hawaii. and Maui. And I'm trying to figure out the link there, because it seems like you have this huge history in Arkansas, and all of a sudden, boom, uprooted and went over to Hawaii. What made you do that?
Yeah, well, we'll leave out France and the United Arab Emirates too, because we have lived overseas a couple of times. But didn't we moved that. From, we opened our, we had the flight school, some other family businesses. John was also, for many, many years, was in full-time vocational Christian ministry in churches. And then we moved to Maui. We were in Arkansas, let's see, up until 2017, that spring. Our youngest son graduated high school. And 2 days later, we moved over to Maui. Now, we had had a little side gig business story for another day, and we started making trips to Maui to manage that business. So we'd go 3-4 times a year just to kind of check on things. And we opened a different business. We have 4 indoor trampoline parks, kind of like an urban air sky zone type of thing. So we moved over there to open one on the island of Maui. And, you know, we put everything we had into getting that business off the ground and moving over there. We left our flight school and some very capable hands back in Arkansas. I was still trying to kind of help manage that remotely from Hawaii. But, you know, we didn't fly for 18 months. And I think I mentioned that earlier. So that was really hard, because we lived in Kihei and our house was directly under the main practice area for the flight schools, and also the downwind for the main approach going into the Kahului Airport for the heavy jets. So we would sit in our backyard and just, you know, listen and watch planes do steep turns and stalls all day long. But after about 18 months, I got another one of these scholarships, actually 2, to help kind of jumpstart my time building for my instrument rating. And so that got us back into the plane. We both got our flight reviews done, and then and we started flying again. And so we started building time together. And man, those were just some awesome days, because John and I were each other's safety pilot. We got to explore the state and going all these long cross countries together. And we wound up partnering with our flight instructor. It was like one of these stories where we would come to the gate and he would have an armful of files and books and, you know, his flight bag, and dropping everything and looking at us like, what are we working on today? And, you know, and we would just have to say, okay, well, you know, how about we do this? Let's work on pattern alpha, you know, pattern A in our instrument training, or let's go hop in the sim today. So, he had a plane and his instructor certificate. We had the business side of it. We had been operating a pretty successful flight school back in Arkansas. Long story short, we kind of married the two together and became partners. So we became flight school partners with our flight instructor. We also did, John and I did paired learning very consistently. I really can't even think of a flight all through instrument training and on into the end of our commercial training where we weren't in the plane together backseating each other's lessons, or in the sim together. And, you know, as our instructor and John were working on the sim, I would be standing over their shoulders just watching everything, and then would switch seats. That was so effective, and it made our flight training for our instrument rating and commercial certificate go so efficiently. But it was kind of an interesting dynamic, because Ovik, our instructor, had never taught a husband and wife pilot team together. And on top of that, we're business partners. So it was really fun. And like I said, an interesting dynamic. And then we got into our time building phase. And we did something that I never even knew existed in Hawaii, was fish spotting. So you probably have heard of it here in Florida. Well, I had never heard of such a thing in landlocked Arkansas. But we go up with Uncle Phil. And Uncle Phil has been using aircraft and pilots to help him and his family business, his commercial fishing business, spot fish off the shores of Maui for 20, 25 years. I mean, he's never taken the controls, but I swear he could probably just land the plane and grease it, because he has so many hours in, you know, 150s and 172s flying around Maui. It's like a rite of passage for Maui pilots to commercial pilots to fly with Uncle Phil. But man, those were some flights where I thought I was a pretty decent stick and rudder pilot, but we got into so many different situations there. If you've ever flown into Maui or flown around Maui, our airline pilots or, you know, visiting pilots on vacation, we have some pretty hefty crosswinds there. And those crosswinds translate into the leeward sides of the mountains into, I mean, it's like Disneyland. You get some pretty significant updrafts and downdrafts and turbulence. So we're in these pockets of just downdrafts and turbulence, fish spotting, and we're doing steep turns at about, or kind of a hybrid of steep turns and eights on pylons at about 900 feet. And the very first time I did it, I got back in my car and just kind of started crying a little bit. And I'm not a big crier, but I was just like, Lord, I don't know if I'm cut out for this. But those were fun. There's just some different experiences like that, you know, we did not get to have in Arkansas, not to mention the beautiful scenery and getting to see humpback whales and the waterfalls and the, you know, rainforest, Rho de Hana, the mountains, and just the dramatic coastlines that are everywhere.
What an outstanding story, I tell you. It's so beautiful out there flying, and just from the videos I've seen, and also obviously talking to you, it is a challenge, that's for sure, flying out there. And I think that's something that I really would encourage people to this day to go out there. Even though you're not involved with the school, I think we definitely tell people to get out there and try out Maui as far as flying is concerned.
Oh, for sure. Some of my favorite flying are, you know, with our visiting pilots who would come on island, anywhere from student pilots to airline pilots who are there on layovers, and they would book a flight lesson with either me or one of our other flight instructors, and just to get to know a lot of different people and just to show them, you know, the beauty of Maui, or those student pilots that, you know, maybe they're in an area where they don't get gusty winds and they get to go work on their crosswind landings.
Absolutely.
Yeah. From a flight training standpoint and owning the flight school, I mean, there were some different challenges there as well. I mean, Hawaii is just one of the most difficult places, I think, in my opinion, to own an aircraft. I mean, just because of the corrosive environment that's there, the difficulty and the expense to get parts, the lack of mechanics there. So, you know, I counseled a lot of people. We had a lot of students that would come through Fly Maui and say, oh, I'm going to get my own airplane. I'm like, well, that's great. And I can help you do that and, you know, show you the right path to go on and where to look for one and all the ins and outs of it. But really think, you know, really consider about the expense. It's expensive enough owning an airplane on the mainland, but in Hawaii, it's an extra challenge. But not just that, but, you know, leading our teams of CFIs and our students, I think through the years there, in the last 3 or 4 years, probably managed probably 19 or 20 different instructors, part-time instructors that have come through there. So a lot of turnaround, they would build a little bit of time, and Mokulele Airlines is right there in our back door. So I would say 75% of our instructors would step on up and get that first, you know, part 135 job flying for Mokulele. And we're super proud of them. And I did want to mention, before we leave the subject of Hawaii, I did want to mention the wildfires. It's a question that I get a lot about the Maui wildfires. We actually moved over to the mainland exactly a week before the wildfires started. They got really close to our house in Kihei. That's one of the fires that's, you know, didn't quite make the news, but the big fire in Lahaina did. And it's just been, it's been unreal. And it's, you know, not to make it about us, but it has been really difficult to see our friends and our Maui community go through that.
Absolutely.
I'm really proud of our instructors, our team there at the flight school. We were able, I got on the phone as soon as it happened, and because the roads were blocked off for, gosh, nobody could really, except for emergency personnel, couldn't get in and out of that part of the island for a couple of weeks. So we just kind of rallied together. I called the airport manager over in Kapalua. So Kapalua is, if you look on the VFR sectional, you'll see that it's a private use airport. It's kind of a different dynamic. It is owned by the state, but GA pilots and helicopter pilots, tour pilots cannot land there at all. But we do communicate over the Unicom when we're flying on that side of the island. So I got on the phone and reached out to them and say, hey, you know, I'm sure we can get some supplies together, get, you know, just basic needs, water, diapers, food, and get it over to the west side of Maui, to that community where the fire had happened, and get it to the people over there because they're just stuck over there. Not just the people who live there, but a lot of tourists were stuck over there too, who were there on vacation. And one of our planes was officially the very first GA aircraft to take one of these loads over there of supplies. And Christian, our senior flight instructor, was the one that flew that flight. So, not to pat ourselves on the back, but I'm so proud of how the whole community, of course, but especially the GA community, the general aviation community, rallied together to start making these relief flights. One of our students, Lucas Nelson, spearheaded collecting donations and getting it all organized in our hangar. And then we would take it all out to the plane, get the planes loaded up. And just there was about a week there where the roads were closed and it was constantly missions back to back, taking supplies over there to the people.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because a lot of times there is not much glory in general aviation that's given or recognition. And one of the things that we don't realize is a lot of times during any type of disaster, it's GA that steps up and actually moves people and products and relief to those people that are in need. I mean, there's water, there's food, there's any transportation of people that are sick, and that's, I'm so glad you brought that up, because I think that story has to be told. I don't think it's really been told enough, is how the community came together. I mean, we see all the big organizations, but we don't realize that it's the small GA pilots that have stepped up and said, hey, we're gonna help, and the schools like yourself. So really commend you for doing that. That's absolutely terrific that you guys.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was 100% a grassroots effort, mm-hmm. With the whole community there.
And that's something that I think, as a matter of fact, we need to do that as an episode, just have maybe someone come on and just talk about that relief effort and how, you know, it's there, how the impact of that is today and what's happening today with that. I think we need to have a follow-up, that's for sure.
Yeah.
But that's another aspect of this as far as general aviation and why we get involved. And to that point, I'd like to encourage people, if you don't have to go to Maui, you can do it right in your own backyard. There's something you can get involved with on a grassroots level to help people using your airplane or renting an airplane. There's, you know, Pilots and Paws. There's relief efforts to islands and remote areas. I would use Fly Maui as an example of that and continue paying that forward in that manner. So as far as, like I said, we could talk an hour on that. We may have to do a whole episode on that one. But that aviation, that general aviation world, you really see an impact on people's lives in many ways. Doing what you did in Maui is a great example of that in a very significant way. But now you've come away from Maui and you've made a personal decision to move back to the mainland. And now you're moving on to a new adventure. Of course, there's going to be something interesting happening. So what's next? I mean, what is your next adventure? If you can share that with us.
Well, I think being a co-host on the Stuck Mike Avcast is going to be quite the adventure, Carl.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah, for real. I'm excited about it. But seriously, you know, it's odd how your life sometimes runs in cycles. So we have now found ourselves again. You know, it was very expensive to move to Maui. It was very expensive to move away from Maui. We moved here with, you know, no house, no furniture, a couple of suitcases of clothes, and our three golden retrievers, and that's it. So, you know, it's taken a lot of our savings to kind of get up and running and off the ground. We are currently looking for an aircraft that I can, you know, we want to use it for three parts. I would like to do some instruction on the side. We would like to make it available for rental for time building here. And of course, have it to use for our personal use and fly back to Arkansas to see our one-year-old granddaughter. And which is a big reason why we moved back to the mainland from Maui. But in the meantime, like, okay, just like when we started the Fly Maui podcast, what are we going to do with our time? And I'm looking, like, okay, what am I going to do with my time? Because we're not really to the place where we've been able to find and purchase an aircraft yet, but I've got to have my hands in general aviation somehow. So long story short, we have started a company called Ultimate Aviation. And what it is, it's going to sound like a lot of different things here at the beginning. And it may be, you know, as time goes on, we drill more down and fine tune it into a couple of different areas instead of several. But what I've taken is between owning aircraft in Arkansas and Hawaii and running flight schools and working with dozens and dozens of young flight instructors and with new students and, say, parents of high school students, and, you know, my son or my daughter wants to become a pilot, I don't even know what to do next. They've never even heard of a discovery flight, much less know how to book one. So there's a lot of recurring themes and questions that came up through the past 10 years that we've been involved in general aviation. And it's going to be kind of like filling in some of the voids that I have found in other people's training. Maybe some of our flight instructors that we've hired, I've seen voids in their training. And the first one that I'm doing currently, I actually have one on, and the next one's on Thursday this week, is doing virtual mock check rides. Now, that could be a whole episode in itself on the benefits of doing a mock check ride, an oral and a flight, with your instructor, not just your instructor, but definitely with a neutral, unbiased instructor. It's so helpful. It may sound very stressful, but it actually helps relieve and lower that stress level as you're going into your check ride. So I do those. I do mock oral check rides online virtually. Also helping do some coaching with people becoming a pilot and how to go into flight training and approaching it where you can do it efficiently. Maybe efficient timeline-wise and efficient cost-wise, because time and money seem to be the two resounding factors that could be those challenges in your flight training. And then when you move on and get into that check ride prep, your organization and just mindset going into your check ride, from a flight school perspective, onboarding new CFIs, because, you know, we have these young instructors, a lot of times it's their first job that they've ever had. And they can teach you all day long, and they're excellent, probably better than me at teaching aerodynamics or stalls. But they're not quite sure how to manage their clients, or maybe they forgot just the basics of flight training. Like they don't know how to guide those new students into, like getting their medical. Mm-hmm. How do you even find a medical examiner? Did you even know you have to fill out this thing called MedExpress before you go to your appointment? You know, just all things that Carl, you and I take for granted now that we've been in this for a while. But and these new instructors sometimes forget that. But to come alongside people like that, you know, those, and I see the same thing with pilots who are wanting to buy their first aircraft. I talked to somebody last week. They said, I want to buy a plane, but I mean, I'm kind of out of it. I haven't flown in 8 years. I don't even know where to look now. I don't even know how much airplanes cost now. I'm like, well, a lot. But, you know, there's, you know, all the things you have to consider with that: insurance, taxes, not just your purchase price, but what's your maintenance cost going to be down the road. So all of those ins and outs. So that's kind of Ultimate Aviation in a nutshell. We are going to be starting a podcast. I've got a local brand new flight instructor. She's been instructing for 4 weeks now at the Punta Gorda Airport. She's going to come on and kind of give that grassroots boots on the ground perspective, from a young 21-year-old flight instructor. She loves the company she's working with, but there's been some lapses in like her own training. She said last week we were visiting, she said, I've got to give a discovery flight tomorrow. And Leslie, I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what to do on a discovery flight. And this is a flight instructor. So, you know, I just want to be there for that. And we're going to do the podcast and cover some different topics like that. And right now we also have, besides doing the mock oral check rides, we also have a community. I've started a community of women aircraft owners. So if you're interested in joining that group, whether you're a current aircraft owner or you're thinking about buying an aircraft, we have an awesome community, anywhere from those that are looking right now to ladies who own five different aircraft with their husbands to flight instructors. We have a couple of A&Ps that have been joining the group. So it's just a great place to, a safe place where we can ask questions, network together, and just, you know, bounce ideas off each other and learn best practices. So that's going on right now.
So where would they find this? I mean, where would they find information about all these projects you're doing? Is it, should they go to that Ultimate Aviation Academy? Is that the best place?
Yeah, that's probably the best place. UltimateAviationAcademy.com is the website, and you can see different links. If you want to do a mock check ride, you can just book it directly online. If you're interested, if you're a lady and interested in the Aircraft Owners Community Group, there's a place where you can email me there, or you can direct message me on Instagram. It's Leslie Cobble on Instagram. A lot of ladies out there even know how to reach me on Facebook or have my phone number. Just shoot me a text if you want to join that group, and I'll tell you how to join up. We are going to be starting a group for flight training for student pilots. And also I'd like to start one for CFIs and flight school owners as well. Just kind of a place where we can all sit together maybe every other week and talk about best practices.
Absolutely. I think this is a great resource. It's going to be a great resource, especially since you're spearheading this. And we'll be looking for updates on this Ultimate Aviation Academy. And I think it's great that you're helping flight instructors also move forward in their careers and with their profession, I should say. That's something else that I think is a big part of this, is the fact that a lot of instructors don't have those resources. I think you even said that. That's a great example. What do I do for an intro flight? You know, how do I teach this? It's great to have those resources, and especially someone like yourself that has all this
experience.
Yeah,
and what we want to do is we want to set, of course, our students up for success, and we want our students to pass those check rides. And not only pass those check rides, we want them to be skilled and safe pilots at the end of the day. But sometimes we just don't know as new instructors how to guide them to the right study resources. I mean, we can say, okay, read pages 3 through 21 of the Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge. Well, you know what? I know now that 16-year-old boy is probably not going to read that before their next lesson. So we need to find some ways that we can engage our students, give them those great study resources that's going to help them be successful on their written exams and on their check rides. Things like the FAA Wings program. What an awesome resource that we have that's absolutely free. That's right there online. You can do from the convenience of home. And I don't see that being pushed a whole lot with our newer instructors. A lot of instructors have never even heard of that before. So, you know, helping them, educate them about different programs like that. And then, you know, when you have students that, I mean, this is the case at Fly Maui, we had a lot of CFI transition as they're moving up in their careers. And you hear from student pilots, hey, I'm on my fourth, fifth, or even sixth flight instructor, and I've not even soloed yet. So a lot of these things they fall through the cracks in students' training. So that's where I hope Ultimate Aviation can come in and fill in some of those gaps and help people along the way. And, you know, one of the hardest things to do is to ask for support, whether you're a student or a CFI. It doesn't make you a bad or an unknowledgeable instructor or flight training student. There's always ways that we can grow and improve every day. So maybe reaching out and getting some support from someone on the side, because maybe your instructor, you know, they could be managing 12 students. And it's hard to give that really, I call it concierge level direction to especially the private pilot students. They just don't have the bandwidth to sit down and spend the extra time with them. So that's where I'm hoping we can come in.
Yeah, monitoring the continuity of your training is something that a lot of these bigger schools and also larger training organizations do. But those of us that are just going to a local flight school and all, they don't have that. They don't, and through this, they do. They have somebody that's managing their training, which is terrific. And I think that's something that is hard to do, is to reach out. I mean, you know, listen, I know I've been doing, you know, career coaching for a couple decades, and it really is sometimes hard for people to reach out. But once they do, they're like, gosh, you know, in just 1 hour of having this resource and having this ability to talk to someone with all this knowledge, it's saved months and meant thousands of dollars many times in their training. So ultimateaviationacademy.com is the place that you can find that. And of course, they'll reach out to you. And of course, one of the things that we're going to do is talk more about some of the things that have happened there at Ultimate Aviation Academy. As a matter of fact, Matt Len, who's actually our program coordinator here at Stuck Mike Avcast, he actually wrote a review on there. It says, "You're a great resource for a check ride review and filling the void. I feel more confident in my preparation and that I have the tools necessary to be successful." And I think that spells it out right there, is having the confidence to become successful using somebody like yourself to review for the check ride. I mean, gosh, that's, you know, I do this all week long, helping people prepare for interviews, for jobs. Why don't we do the same for our own check rides for our hobby? I think that's really kind of a great thing that you're doing here. You know, Leslie, this has been pretty awesome talking with you today, and I think we could go on for hours basically on every single topic that we talked about, which is terrific because we have a lot of new episodes coming forward with the Stuck Mike Avcast, and it's going to be wonderful having you on. And I know you're going to bring forth a lot of great knowledge, especially within the flying environment. And you have this wide range. By the way, there's one confession. I've always wanted to fly in Hawaii, and it's the one of the two states I haven't actually landed in yet. So
I know, Carl. Hawaii and Alaska, right?
Yep, and Alaska's the other one. So
I know. I've tried to encourage you for the last few years to get over there and fly with me personally, but now that I'm not there, I can hook you up, though.
Yeah, I was going to say, you probably have a hookup for me.
Some awesome 172s.
Yeah, I just need to go out there. I mean, one of the days when I'm on the West Coast and just pop out there for a day and just do a quick flight and say at least I've done it. And it's a challenge, just like there's many other places in the U.S. that have all these challenges flying-wise. But with any type of flying, it's always good to get local instruction. Whether you're about to fly through your local mountains, on an island, there's very unique situations everywhere. Leslie, what as far as everything, I mean, we've talked about a lot in your background and everything. We're excited to have you on as a co-host on the Stuck Mike Avcast. And one of the things that I think, you know, has been great is just hearing some of your challenges in your life and how you've come to aviation. And it's always fun to hear people talk about how they actually developed this passion, but you've taken it to a different level. I mean, you've really made this passion into even a business, and you folks have thrived. So we're excited to see what's next in the future. But as far as, you know, any parting thoughts as far as in for those of us in that are listening, because there's a lot of people out there listening that do general aviation part-time. Many of our listeners are airline pilots down to brand new students. Any advice you would have to one of those people that either been out of GA for a while or are just getting started? Any general advice?
Well, Carl, I mean, the best piece of advice, number one, I'm going to say two things. Number one is what you say all the time, especially on the Aviation Careers podcast, is do something every day to move forward in your goals. And sometimes you get overwhelmed and think, I don't have time to sit down and test prep with Shepherd Air today. I just don't have the time. But, you know, you might could listen to a podcast about check rides on the way to the grocery store or while you're walking the dogs or something. I mean, there's something you can do. And maybe you'll have those weeks and you'll have those days where you can take bigger steps. But as long as your trajectory is moving forward, then you're going to reach that goal. And maybe it's not going to be on your timeline that you want, but it's going to be in the timeline that, you know, I feel like in my personal life, what God wants. So that's number one, do something every day where you're moving forward. And number two is going back to the volunteering. I mean, we can't do this alone, but we can do all of this, you know, individually, collectively together. And so when we're giving back, I mean, and that's what I've found. That's why I love general aviation so much, because overall, the general aviation community is a community of people who pay it forward and they want to give back to their world, to their local communities, and to those new pilots that are coming along behind us. So even if you're a student pilot, you know, I have a lot of student pilots, especially, you know, student pilots in the 99s, they say, I don't have anything. I just started. I have 3 hours. I have nothing to offer. But you know what? When you have 3 hours, you've been in an airplane, you've been at the controls, you kind of know what, you know, you push the yoke down and you get faster and you decrease in altitude and you pull the yoke back, you get slower, you might start going up if you add power, you know, just some basic fundamentals. That's something that you can teach to a Girl Scout group and an aviation STEM day. I mean, there's always something you can do. Maybe you're too afraid to talk in front of somebody, but you can go to a local EAA chapter meeting and serve coffee or bring the donuts or something like that. So just get involved, and you just, you know, not from a selfish standpoint, but you never know what your involvement is going to lead to. It may open the door to some incredible opportunities.
Leslie, that was incredible. I'm going to leave it there. I think you've done a great job closing out the show. And of course, it's been wonderful having you on. And it's great to have you here just to introduce yourself. And by the way, we're going to be at Sun and Fun. I know the team at Stuck Mike Avcast, we volunteer at Sun and Fun Radio. But also our sister podcast, Aviation Careers Podcast, is actually going to have a booth. And some of the folks from Stuck Mike will come over every so often and introduce themselves. So make sure you do check that out and Hangar A for a longer conversation. Also wave at us at the Sun and Fun Radio booth at Sun and Fun. That's going to be April 9th through the 14th, and hopefully Leslie will be there. And I know you're trying to get there, and we at the Stuck Mike Avcast always love volunteering and helping out with the radio station. And as Leslie said, I think one of the most important things is to, if you're in aviation, you haven't been doing anything, is make sure you do something every single day to move your passion forward in aviation. It could be just reading a book, watching a video, listening to this podcast. But the most important thing, I think the most important thing, and I think Leslie agrees with me, is that you need to do something every day to move that passion forward and move forward in your aviation life. Well, folks, we'll talk to you next episode. Safe flying out there.
You've been listening to the Stuck Mike Avcast. Members of the Stuck Mike Avcast may receive compensation for products or services mentioned during the podcast. Compensation may be received in the form of, but not limited to, referral commissions, free products or service trials. Our opinions and views are never influenced by any compensation, and you should always perform your own due diligence before purchasing any products or services mentioned during the show. The Stuck Mike Avcast is an aviation podcast and a Valeri Aviation Corporation production.